Hello and welcome back to the Little Skulls podcast. I'm Joe as usual and I'm joined by Casper again. Say hi, Casper.
Hello.
So, Casper and I are continuing these casual Warhammer talks. Of course, these are, we're just making a list on the go. One of us has thought of a challenge, a choice between two challenges. And then after we've selected one of those, we build a list from it. So nothing, sometimes the lists are, you know, very tactical, sometimes they're very fluffy, sometimes they're just thought of thematic. But stick around and see what we find out, and if you have any thoughts on other challenges we should do, be sure to let us know at the Little Skulls podcast Facebook group. Alright, so, Casper, what two choices have you brought for me today?
Yeah, until just recently I was still debating what to do, but I really think it would be interesting to get your views on how to make the most competitive Dark Elf list, because that's really something that I'm not quite sure about myself.
Okay.
What route to take. They have a lot of options in the Flail of Skulls edition. New other units being available, and we forced the Dark Elf list to be more focused on combat rather than ranged capabilities.
Yes, Casper and I, we were getting tired of facing each other's scout armies, basically, which was just how we were building our Dark Elves.
Yeah, that was because that was the only sensible thing to do with Dark Elf, unless you were playing very fluff lists. And elves are so expensive, they really struggle to make something good and able to match most other armies if you don't fully optimize them because of that.
Yeah, all the Elven factions, at least previously, were forced into certain categories simply because of the high cost. So variation was a very expensive bit, and you would lose out on some of your units simply because, I mean, if you had to bring this one, then, well, that's all you had to bring. The initiative costs on elves made them quite expensive.
Yeah, so I think we have moved the Dark Elf army list into something that's a lot more interesting, and they have more options. Yeah, so that's my first idea.
Okay.
Also, it has been a while since we have made something that's competitive on these casts.
That is true. We've made quite a few fluffy lists or very thematic ones.
And normally, with most armies, I think it's not that interesting to podcast about the competitive choices, at least not for you and me, because we have already debated and talked about a lot of these things. It would probably still be interesting for the viewers, but with the Dark Elves, I don't feel like that we have landed on something that we both agree on is the best optimal list or the best choices.
I think you're right about that. I don't think we've explored Dark Elves enough into the Flail of Skulls edition. Is there another faction that we could put up beside it and then do a common a choice in unison about? Like, is there another faction that we haven't examined as well as we have?
Yeah, there probably are a few, but I think the other choice is going a different route. I would like to do a demonic army with you, where we are only allowed to do one demon prince.
Okay.
And that probably opens up the consideration of having chaos allies from either mortals or beastmen to fill up the list and fix some of the things that the demons are missing.
Okay. Yeah.
We made it so in Flail of Skulls edition that the only allied options on this you choose to. We recommend that you don't use allies except for Dogs of War and Realm of Chaos, because it really seemed like Realm of Chaos should be able to ally with the other Chaos factions. And Dogs of War, we made those so they can ally any faction, even though we recommend not having allies, but they can should still be able to do it because they are so fixed in their points, because all their regiments have already paid for expensive characters that really doesn't do anything.
Okay.
So, what are you leaning more into here?
Well, these are both very interesting choices. One Demon Prince armies, Chaos, Demons of Chaos, is quite interesting how you would build that list and what you'd be able to include. However, I do have a tendency to dislike demons. So I think I'm going to lean in the Dark Elf side, and we say we should make a Dark Elf list that's very competitive, because that also sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I was almost sure you would pick that option.
Yeah, I think that's why you picked demons as the second choice. But it was
No, I think both would be interesting to do.
Yeah.
So I didn't try to force you into Dark Elf or anything.
Yeah, of course. Of course not. Okay, yeah, Dark Elves. So
yeah, so do you have any ideas on where to start or what to talk about? What would be your angle?
Yeah, what's our entry point here to build this list? I think we need to do an evaluation of the dark magic. Is it worth it focusing on one of our damage dealing aspects as being a magic phase, in which case we can save some points in the general, but we'll spend more points because it'll be a sorcerer lord? Or are we going to look at a different angle? Like, how powerful is dark magic? Should it be an auto include? It usually hasn't been. Sometimes you would go with the just the level one sorcerers with dispel scrolls.
Yeah, and that I think you are right about. About the point you made about that, because I think dark magic is widely viewed as being very powerful, but I don't really think that is the case. It has some really good spells, but if you don't get those, it's not that good. I mean, if you look at the Anisipul's Black Horror, it's a really, really good spell. It needs to be comboed with Cloak, Mist, and Shadows, but that's not too hard to do. But that's a insanely strong spell.
But you would have to draw it on the Cloak of Mist and Shadows character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that unlikely with four spells. But still, yeah. Blade Wind is really good against the things that are hard to kill. Like, it's really good against a steam tank.
Mm-hmm.
Things that doesn't have armor saves is it's really good against.
Yeah.
But it's situational. And of course, Dark Hand of Destruction is close combat and is horrible because Elven Wizards are too weak to be being in close combat.
Yeah, it's not really a worthwhile level one. I mean, Malediction of Nagash, it's quite expensive, but it sort of has a better use now. Because that minus two weapon skill could be an extra a minus one to hit.
Yeah, but really the big part of it is the immobilization of the unit. It is very expensive. But if you're already going the Cloak of Mist and Shadows with dark magic, because there are so many expensive spells, I usually pick Book of Secrets as well, even with the White Dwarf 222 rules.
Yeah.
It's where the enemy picks what stats you lose. It's still very potent, and it's kind of the only way that you can get these heavy power 3 spells through. If you get two of them, two power 3 spells on a level 4, you're never going to cast them both on the same turn. Otherwise,
yeah,
you need really lots of magic support.
With the ability to use dispel cards as power cards.
But it's a good spell if you ignore the high cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has long range, it doesn't need line of sight. And with the magic phase moved, you can really dictate that an enemy won't be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the the bad ones, of course, Black Horror, you kind of need the mobility, so we need to make sure that all our casters would be some kind of mobile unit. Doombolt is decent.
Not really.
No, it's only D6. It's
the only role for Doombolt is picking off
a character or
a lone level 1 character.
Probably. Yeah.
It's not.
It's not that great actually.
But the good thing about it is that it doesn't need line of sight.
First model in path.
Yeah, but that's not the same as line of sight.
That is true.
So it can be shot backwards. But
yes.
If
you're in the back of course.
It's not very good. Death Spasm is health. A huge potential and probably something that will always draw a dispel of some kind,
mm-hmm.
because the upside of it when working is game breaking. But it is such a small chance. But because it always has to draw a dispel, it's decent, I think. And the power of chaos is not usable by a level 4 general.
No, it's not. Simply because you can't use the chaos items in your support with a warpstone charm.
Yeah. And then there's Witch Flight, which has no use when you have Cloak of Mist and Shadows almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it can save you from a stupid mistake. That's about it. It's pretty nice with Witch King and his chariot.
Does it move the chariot as
Yeah, it
well?
does. It does.
But would it move a mount?
Yeah, it would. Because it's the same model. So
Yeah, okay.
that is that's just the case with all those teleport spells. And then there's Soul Drain. Soul Drain is definitely not worth it for the cost, but if you ignore the cost with the casting free spells with the with Book of Secrets, then it's a nice little damage spell. It's not that bad. I don't care much about the wounds that you get from it, but more the damage that he can do.
Exactly. Yeah, it can kill, what was it? 8 models.
Yeah, the template can cover 9.
Yeah, 9, with the guy in the middle, of course, as well.
But it's strength 4 hit, no armor save, so that's probably a very high roll.
Yeah, it's not exactly impressive, the dark magic.
But
It's.
it's not bad either, and it's
Mean, the spells that you that can win you that are powerful, those can win you games, much like Curse of Years can. But you're not able to choose to draw them like you are with necromantic magic. I mean,
No.
that would make dark magic be much more potent
The
for
spell you definitely want is Anisipul's Black Horror,
yeah.
with your level 4,
So I
but I don't
think
think it's too shabby to, let's say, have Soul Drain, and Death Spasm, as two spell and two other spells. I think that's good enough to do something on the battlefield. And Bladewind is really, really good in some situations.
Oh yes.
And even Malediction of Nagash could be interesting.
It's gonna be difficult getting Malediction of Nagash off and then Blade Wind, but would be fun.
N not difficult at all when you have Book of Secrets.
But he's not really.
But
Is it worth 3 power for an extra 2 hits on the Blade Wind?
no, but not, of course not.
But yeah, you could do it. I know it's a. I think it's a combo in the later editions. Maybe they're using Rust or something from one of the schools of magic in the later editions.
But if we look at the level 1s, the spells they want is definitely Transformation of Kadon, because it's so good on a level 1. It's so much value
Yes.
transforming into a Chimera,
Yeah.
which is always the monster choice that you should do.
Oh
And
yes.
the Power of Chaos is really good on a level 1 as well. So you really want those. It depends on what kind of wizard.
Yes, and what kind of wizard will depend on whether we need to focus on magic as our primary, which I don't think we should, with the randomness to dark magic.
You don't think so?
I don't think magic should. I don't think magic should be the main source of damage. It could be a secondary, or at least it has to share the role with something else. It can't stand alone.
Yeah, I agree with that, but when you're holding up a Wizard Lord choice as general, or regular Elven general in comparison. It's because we made it so in Flail of Skulls edition that Dark Elf can have a Sorcerer Lord as general as well, because it fits the whole theme of the army.
Yes.
But the Elven general is generally really, really bad. There are very few ways that I see him being worth his 160 points
to start with. I mean, I'm not really sure I would even consider a Executioner's Axe build for a really serious army. It's just a little too risky, I think.
Yeah, and it is a nice item, especially paired with the Banner of Might, because it was also changed in White Dwarf 2.22, so it you need a 6 to wound instead of to hit, because it was way too powerful. But if 3 attacks hit with the it should with Banner of Might, then or at least close to, then you have a pretty good chance of decapitating something.
Yeah, and the reason why you would go on this build on the general instead of a Witch Elf hero would probably be the
Because you don't have the points for it. I think.
Yeah, you don't have the points for it, but also your Witch Elf still has survive striking last.
Yeah, definitely, and toughness 4, 2 wounds is, and only one protective item is just not enough to make it work. If you want to make it work with the Dark Elf general, then he has to have 2 ward saves as well.
Yeah.
So you guaranteed that he will make will kill the enemy or get the chance to strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this also kind of brings to light one of the issues that would be with making a some people have been talking about making a Witch Elf general, or like a Hare Queen as a character choice. Having a frenzied general with the Executioner's Axe build, that becomes a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
But you know, not too much, but it could be something. But anyway, yeah, I think Sorcerer Lord is probably the right choice here, because what other build is there with a Dark Elf general that we would like to see?
Well, the way that he's decent, I think, is when he has a Flail of Skulls and he has to have Banner of Might with him in order to be dangerous enough. So either Flail of Skulls, Executioner's Axe, and Banner of Might to pair with them. Otherwise, he's just a waste of points, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So we kind of forced into Banner of Might if we want to have him, I think. But that could also be a good option for a Cold One regiment or some or Witch Elf regiment.
Yeah, because like how powerful is the the Cold One regiment can strike pretty hard. But is it enough? I mean, how would we do have the Dark Riders to support it? We do have 3 groups of scouts that can support it. I guess you could make a pretty scary Cold One Knight regiment.
Yeah, I already toyed around with a fast-moving cavalry-based Dark Elf list. That is definitely one option that could be pretty good. But there are also options of the foot regiments. We kind of need to talk about that as well before making any choice. of Lord. Because yeah, there's the Coldborn Knights. That's a pretty good regiment. It can become very strong with Banner of Might and a general with it. I think you just mentioned if you have any others, but I think these are the regiments that I would consider to be fighting regiments.
Yeah.
The Black Guards are pretty nice now that they have permanent hatred.
Yeah.
Not permanent, but hatred.
Yeah.
So they unmodified leadership 10 and can reroll the first turn. It's a pretty nice unbreakable unit. Can even do stuff on its own. I think they are very worth consideration. Then there is, of course, the Witch Elves with the Banner of Might.
Mm-hmm.
They strike very hard, and the small nerf that we made to poison, that is only plus one strength to the first round, it's not that bad for them, because
usually
if they get to charge, they will win, because strike so hard.
Yeah, they're very likely to win the first round of combat and break the enemy.
If they get to strike.
If they get to strike, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not really nerf, it's just to make sure that there's a bit more of a gamble to it. So if you do roll low on your first round of combat and the enemy holds, you start to be in a little bit of trouble.
And Elven foot regiments are not that bad because of the move 5.
Yeah.
Move 3 and 4, usually that means that the regiment won't get to fight unless the enemy meets you halfway.
Mm-hmm.
But move 5, you can actually find some targets. Maybe not the very preferred target, but it's a lot harder to maneuver away from move 5. So they will get to connect Elven regiments on foot.
Yeah.
But there's also Black Ark Corsairs that I think is very good.
Very sturdy with that 5 plus.
Yeah, and if you combine it with a rank bonus, Banner of Defiance, a Battle Banner, or War Banner, then I think that's a really, really good unit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But those are the four units that I would probably consider for being our fighting units.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any others that they
as fighting units and rather than supporting units? No, I do not believe so. No. Dark Riders, they aren't potent enough to be built differently rather than use them as a vanguard. Of course, you have the Harpies as well, which are fighting, but I think those are the best choices for the ones who are going to be dealing damage or winning the combats. And everything else is more supportive. There is some argument for Dark Elf Spearmen if you were to build a more defensive lineup, but I don't think you would do that. We have moved away from the gun line of the Dark Elves, and that one needs to advance as well, simply because you don't have a lot of range on your repeated crossbows.
Yeah, and still we made it so that the spears can have a magic banner and they can pay for having poison.
So they can be quite a potent defensive unit. Nobody wants to mess with one that has poison.
Yeah, but you're not just not you should excuse me, you're just not utilizing the movement then of the elves.
Exactly. So it's not an offensive unit. It's definitely a very defensive unit, And I don't think we're looking at a defensive build. At least that's the vibe I'm getting from the army we're going to be making here.
Yeah, I agree.
So, where do we start? I guess we figure out which regiment is our main regiment.
Yeah. Also, there's also the War Hydra that.
Yes, that is also, of course,
is a worth consideration. Yeah. I don't know. What do you feel about it? We made it so that the bound monster rule of the War Hydra is ignored if it has a line of sight of an enemy within 12 inches.
I wouldn't know. All my Hydras have always failed their bound monster tests on the first turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they never get within.
But if it passes the first one, it probably is within.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be pretty. So if you survive the first turn, you're pretty good, decently covered. I like that. I like that option. So I do want to include a Hydra if we can.
Okay. Because you think it's good enough to be in a competitive list.
That is the very good question here. Is it competitive enough?
I mean, the breath is really, really devastating.
Mm-hmm.
At 7 wounds, it's a strength 7 breath attack.
Yeah. But even with the leadership 8, it's
It would be a leadership. No. I forgot about the bound monster is not boosted by a general or anything.
Yeah,
that's.
That's a bit of a shame, but.
That's stupidity. So yeah.
Yeah, but it is a good question because it is a bit of a glass cannon, not because of its toughness, but because of its bound monster rule.
Yeah, but it's a lot better now. The question for future edition is if it's good enough to include.
Yeah.
We toyed around with different options, making it so that it just has to be an enemy within 12, not having line of sight, or we also tried giving the Hydra leadership 9. So those are the three options that we have been tinkering with.
I mean, I suppose I could see it as a supporting unit in both cases, both for infantry and cavalry. I mean, the dark Cold One Knights, they are reduced to movement 7 with their heavy armor and shield. So it's not impossible for it to keep up. And it's mainly going to be using its breath, so keeping it on the sideline would provide some devastating fire across the enemy.
Yeah, Hydra is definitely not that strong of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice with 5 attacks, but it's still only weapon skill 4, so those attacks will be cut in half, and then it's only strength 5, so it's not going to be more than 1 or 2 wounds
that's the potent part.
Yeah.
And you want to keep the wounds up to keep the strength of the breath attack up. So it is a glass cannon. But if we we're going to be moving into fluff. I don't think we can include it if we're making a serious list. I mean,
we can agree on that later and see how the points fold out. But
yeah. Okay. So, what would we consider as the best option for a tournament if we're going very? We got to look at all the various matchups.
Yeah,
I mean having powerful magic seems like a good supportive way, because you do need to have two different ways of earning your points or winning the combats, because the enemy is just completely countering one side. You have to be able to rely on the other side.
Yeah,
I think we can.
I think there's more. Yeah, there's more good matchups if we do a Sorcerer Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So finally, we decided on something.
35 minutes later.
Yeah. And then it's there are two mandatory items I think that he absolutely needs to have. It's Cloak of Mist and Shadows and Book of Secrets.
Yeah.
And the other two item slots are up for debate, but I think in the list that I have made before, it's will be able to fit and level 1 sorcerer with the Dispel Scroll in, but it's nice to have two Dispel Scrolls, so one of those slots could be used for Dispel Scroll, I think.
Okay, yeah. Would it be too much to go with Skull Staff instead? I mean, it may be not as effective with Dark Elves, because you're probably using your Dispel Scrolls as power cards and saving your power cards. Well, maybe not.
You want to be using your your power cards as reinforce your spells.
I guess it leaves a little bit of gamble if you go Skull Staff, because you do get that extra chance to dispel just regularly, but you lose the ability to stop one just completely.
Yeah.
So the devastating spells is probably what you're worried about. But then again, Skull Staff would be. I guess you still have an issue with Book of Knowledge and Curse of Years. I don't know. I guess Dispel is the best choice, but let's return to it.
But the Skull Staff is also a very worth consideration, I think.
Yeah. And then we'll look at the Jade Amulet for the last shot or something.
Yeah. Or what about Staff of Osiris?
Staff of Osiris would also be a very good choice.
Because then we're very strong on magic, actually, then. Because we can. And we all. No matter how the dark magic pick will be, we always have a good setup against some armored cavalry or something with this Cloak of Mist and Shadows and the Staff of Osiris. And it's with this build, it doesn't matter, or it's not that bad if it runs out on first try, and you can easily set it up.
Yeah, and if you add a repeating crossbow, then the Sorcerer Lord is going to be a very busy little bee.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with the Staff of Osiris and then leave the last slot open for a Dispel Scroll or the Staff of Skull Staff.
So that... That's a cheap character of $506 points.
Yeah.
No, but it's a potent one, and he's protected with Cloak of Mist and Shadows.
Yeah.
If the enemy has a character on a flying mount, then he has to hide a bit in woods or something like that.
Oh yes.
But I think the upsides in many matchups.
I do so believe same. It's magic is a very potent has a very potent quality to it, so you can. You can pretty much use it in most matchups. Of course, you run the gamble, as we talked about earlier, with the you could run into four spells that are almost useless in a matchup, but you'll get at least, you should get at least one that's usable. This is why you need the second aspect of an army to deal you damage also, not just because of the enemy counters, but also because of your own luck or lack thereof when you draw the wrong spells or roll one on your banner of sorcery. If we can afford some one of those, we should try to fold one.
Yeah, maybe he's not gonna be close very often because he has the Cloak of Mist and Shadows, so so that will be because we include a level one that can utilize those cards.
Yeah, maybe it's not such a important purchase.
But I think it's fine to use a lot of points on him because we made it so that the Dark Elf can use 40% characters, because they needed that boost to be able to include more.
Did we make that change to Dark Elves yet?
Yeah, we did. High Elves and Dark Elves have that.
Yes, of course, we did. Yeah, you're right.
So we did that because it's so difficult to fitting your Elden characters points in. Wood Elves have no problem doing that, but the High Elves and Dark Elves have a tough time because the characters are so expensive. And we didn't want to lower the base cost of the regular trooper of elves like we did with dwarves, because a dwarf costing the same as an elf, where an elf has two more movement, just seems the elves are far more superior because of their movement. The dwarves never gets to fight, so all the other stats don't really matter if the enemy don't allow it. Of course, we made some additional rules to the dwarves, so they can get to fight more often, but that's another talk.
Oh yes, that's quite a discussion there as well.
Yeah. So the next character I think we should include is probably a hero on a Pegasus.
Yeah, to accompany the harpies we'll be getting as well.
Yeah, so we have a little bit more air power. The question is, we could go with a hero with Dark Mace when we're paying the Elden costs of heroes. I prefer Dark Mage over Heart of Oak because he doesn't have to die. So Dark Mage and Charm Shield on a Pegasus would probably be my preferred option, but there's also the option of considering having a Witch Elf hero on a Pegasus.
Yeah, it becomes quite a bit more expensive, but a very dangerous foe.
It doesn't really become more expensive because the Witch Elf hero has a more starting cost, but we're not going to give Dark Mace to the Witch Elf hero. We're going to give the Witch Elf hero two protective items, I think. Like Charm Shield and Jade Amulet or something like that. Very, very cheap. So she will actually be a little cheaper.
Okay.
A little cheaper option.
You wouldn't consider giving her something like... what's it called? Blade of Ensorcelled Iron.
No, because if you give her a magic item, then she loses the poison strength.
Yeah, of course,
you
can't have magic
weapons. And six attacks, weapon skill six with a lance charging. I remember correctly that the poison of witch elves can be on lances, right?
Should be on any weapon they wield, I believe.
Because as I remember, it is assassins that are fixed to daggers. Let me just look it up real quick. Yeah, witch elves' weapons are coated with deadly poison. It doesn't specify, so it can be a lance. So that's a strength 7, 6, strength 7 attacks, weapon skill 6. That's a that's pretty.
Yeah, pretty it's going to be 3 or 4 wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost as good as at peeling knights as the Dark Mace is. It's probably the same.
Yeah, I guess it is, but yeah, cheaper.
But then there is of course the chance of the
frenzy
baited, but
yeah.
But on a Pegasus, you can turn the Witch Elf hero facing away from the enemy, so she's not baited on the first round. Then she flies high, there's no bait then, and then it's only very late game that you will get baited.
Yeah, it's turn 3 or something. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be 2 defensive items, so it would indeed be, it would kind of be cheaper. I guess he has 28 points.
Let's see how the different cost.
Yeah, it would be cheaper.
Yeah. It's not much of a difference, but she's 15 points cheaper in the way I just built her.
Yeah, and that would be, I guess, charm shield, jade amulet.
Yeah, and then heavy armor, lance, and shield. I'm not actually sure how it works with heavy armor and shield on a flying thing.
It would reduce its walking speed.
Yeah, I would say so. It as well. It doesn't get 22 movement for flying.
No.
I think. No, that is the correct way of doing it, right? That it's the walking speed that's reduced.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the correct way. I haven't seen anything that.
I also think that's was the case in the few tournaments I attended as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she can have that 4+ save.
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't need the shield. She already has
she
one.
Has the charm shield. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So there's no. No debate in anyways if
yeah.
So which one is the better option? The points difference are very little, so it's probably we already have Staff of Osiris as armor peeling
and the Witch Elf hero can be kind of armor peeling too.
Yeah.
Just not as efficient,
and she's a lot stronger at taking out an archer regiment.
Yes.
A fight where the hero is with the Dark Mace is really only very good with when he uses the Dark Mace for all those other fights. And the enemy will, of course, try to avoid that, because the enemy knows that it's Dark Mace, a Heart of Woe on that hero. So I'm leaning more towards a Witch Elf hero.
Well, let's go with that because it's rare that we pick something that isn't Dark Maze or Heart of Woe.
Yeah.
Going with our nukers. This is also a nuker option.
Yeah, and it's also a lot stronger on glancing strikes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So more air control. And Jade Amulet and Charm Shields are perfect, the defensive items. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we have spent 702 points. We have almost 100 points left for either, I think, another sorcerer that can utilize Man of Sorcery if we get that. Or just to have another Dispel Scroll. Because
I suppose it's not enough points for us to find a room for a Black Gem Champion to protect one of our regiments.
Yeah, but then I would go with an Assassin with the Black Gem instead if we have
yes.
the few spare points. Because then he's hit and he won't get sniped. And the assassins are revealed after challenges are made, but it's not really an issue in this in a setup where there's no other characters, so the Black Gem will still function.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it wouldn't function. Anyways, that's probably up to interpretation. Because even though that the assassin is revealed after a challenge has been initiated between two other characters, if the assassin is still in close combat, it doesn't say anything about him not being able to Black Gem that opponent. But I think the essence of a challenge is that other things cannot interfere.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think that has ever been cleared.
Yeah, that is a good question.
How would you rule that?
Because the moving the two characters off to the side of the combat, that's not a rule thing. That's just a symbolic thing. And then they say it is a symbolic thing. Because they are, in fact, just in the middle, just fighting among themselves. But can you... What happens to the challenge? Is it just cancelled immediately?
Yeah, if the assassin and the other character goes away, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not an issue for this list. But that's definitely an option. I think it's between an assassin with Black Gem or a sorcerer with a Dispel Scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you prefer? Or is there other options that you think we could spend almost 100 character points on?
That is a good question, but it's difficult to see any other thing. I mean, we would really like to have that Dispel Scroll. Question is, do we can't really afford a second Dispel Scroll, can we? Maybe we... Let's see. That would be 109 points for two Dispel Scrolls and a level 1 Sorcerer.
No, it was 59 points for a sorcerer and a Dispel Scroll.
Yeah, it's 25 points, but then if you wanted a second one on the Lord, which we have a free slot on, it would be another 25.
No, but we already paid for that.
Oh, you already gave him a Dispel Scroll. Okay,
yeah.
I thought you left it out. Okay.
No, I already gave him four items.
Mm-hmm.
So we have points... For both.
That sounds quite interesting. Okay, so let's dwell on this a little bit and then figure out what is our main fighting regiment going to be, because then we'll know whether it needs a Black Gem or not.
Yeah, I agree.
So going magic, we do have a very mobile lord. It seems the mobility would be the best support to so they can work together. But can Kovan Knights be strong enough without a general? All they have is a champion. If they have that, as, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, they are kind of a.
I mean, they're definitely strong enough as a support unit because of the free standard of magician. I feel like we do need at least one unit of Kovan Knights in this army.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are pretty strong. It's three attacks apiece, and of course the weapon skill is low on two of those attacks, and the strength is low on the other attack.
Well, usually they'll be charging, so the strength would be higher on the second attack.
Yeah, you're correct about that, but.
So they have one very strong attack and then two semi.
So if we have six of them, how many hits is that gonna be? We'll probably hit on a 3+ and wound on a 3+ with strength 5, and then if the enemy has some save, that's about. 2 wounds, 2.5 wounds, and then the 12 attacks from the cold ones.
6 hits.
3 hits and some saves. So it's probably gonna be 4 wounds, 4 to 5 wounds.
Yeah.
For that regiment, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's able to break full ranks. Because we also have the standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine support unit, I think.
Now we do have the free command for them. So, what standard are we looking at here?
I think we should definitely go Blood Banner.
Just to make sure they don't act stupid.
Yeah. I'd rather be sure that they can do something, because they will fail that a couple of times a game, and that's game breaking. So,
yeah.
Banner of Might is the preferred combat option, but I think it's too risky.
Yeah, but if we go with a Blood Banner, they're not going to be our main regiment, are they?
No. Definitely not.
No, so our main regiment would. I'm starting to lean towards it should be a Black Guard.
I think if we go with the cold ones, because. Yeah.
Yeah, we could support with cold ones and magic. And then we have a strong center line that'll just hold to the last man. Usually, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, they are going with a leadership of 8. But, of course, yeah, they have hatred. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah. It has to be Blackguard. I don't think Witch Elves are going to work well with a... with the sorcerer.
I don't know. Because if we go Black Guards, it's kind of us thinking that the Cold Ones and the Black Guards can work together. But we can also go with the idea that all the regiments that we get is can perform on its own.
Yeah.
Making us have more options because it's gonna be limited and the enemy can
Yeah, because then if we're looking for a unit that can perform on its own, I would start leaning towards a Corsairs with the Banner of Defiance.
Yeah.
Simply because they reduce, they usually remove a third of all the wounds they suffer.
Yeah, and also, I'm not so sure about the Banner of Defiance, because if it's gonna fight alone, it's just if it's not gonna have support, which Elven builds rarely have, it's just really a shame that it cannot pursue.
That is true. That is very true.
So because that. Usually, Banner of Defiance can be compensated if you have a support unit that can then pursue, but we're not gonna have that as elves, I think.
Well, we are gonna have a bunch of harpies. Well, they're only one unit of harpies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, we're only gonna have harpies to support, yeah. Okay. If we went with the witch elves, of course they could fight their own, chase, but they can also get frenzy baited, and they're quite vulnerable to enemy ranged fire.
Yeah, no. The thing about witch elves is there's no doubt they have the highest damage output, but they're also the squishiest. So, if they are charged by something, they will just die before they can strike.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we could get these scouts to screen their approach.
Yeah, you can always have five scouts to do that, but it's just another huge investment.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, what regiment are you looking at as the main regiment?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult to decide.
Because it's very nice having the Black Guards, just knowing these are almost unbreakable. You can put these in the center, and then the enemy has to come for them. And then we are ready with the gold ones if they cannot block them, or the harpies flying up high, or the Witch Elf Hero, or something like that. It's a really good strategy, I think. But it's also limited to that strategy. If we go with Witch Elves or Corsairs, then we can even go with more regiments, and they can don't have to be centered on trying to get into the middle and holding that.
Yeah,
because either you find your preferred target with your regiment, or you hold the middle, denying all the table quarters that the enemy can get, so they're forcing the enemy to fight you.
It's a difficult choice. I mean, it really affects your strategy each choice.
I have made lists with the Witch Elves and Corsairs, both being regiments that can perform on its own. I have made lists where we have Black Guards with either Cold Ones or Witch Elves as support, and I have made lists where we have Corsairs on its own, supported by Witch Elves. And I really don't know what the best approach is.
Okay, so if we want them to be able to do well on their own, I think the best choice is one that has survivability, which is why I'm looking at the Black Guard Corsairs or the Black Guard Negron. Blackguard Negrand, unfortunately, does not have a lot of healing power if they're, if the enemy has enough attacks. The Blackguard Corsairs have an ability to have a, stop a third of those with the what are they called? Sea Dragon Cloaks.
Yeah. And that will amount to plus one or two combat resolution.
Yeah. So is it Blackguard Corsairs with the battle banner? Is that going to be too expensive?
I don't know. We could try it. We can always go down to Banner of Defiance.
Of course, that would remove the ability to chase. That's the reason why I was looking to upgrade to the battle banner.
Yeah, and I think it's a good consideration. Yeah, so should we have 19 of those, and then also have the wizard or the assassin with them?
Yeah, I think probably the assassin, in which case we would need 20 of them. Because he replaces one of the models, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't replace the models. He's just in between, but it would be as there are 21 models looking 20 strong, if you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he doesn't replace a model.
Okay.
At least that's not how I have ever played it. I don't think that is in the wording of the rules anywhere that you should do that.
You remove a model from combat. Oh, you remove a model from combat?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, he's with the unit.
So it actually says it right there. So.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So it is how I always thought it worked.
Yeah, so he's with the unit of 19. Just randomly 19 guys.
No, but if we go with 20, of course, because...
Yeah, we don't want to reveal that he's there. I'd be like, why do you have 19 Corsairs?
And then, of course, additional hand weapons for them.
Mm-hmm.
And... standard a musician.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because the musician is so good on foot units, I think.
Yeah.
It is now, because in Flail of Skulls edition you can make a turn and still march.
Yes, in the original game the musician was basically there for, you know, you'd only buy it for your supporting units, the ones where you're usually going to be drawing combat anyway.
Yeah. So that's 386 points with the battle banner. No, 386.
Okay,
so almost 400 points, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong regiment.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, it can do a lot of stuff on its own. It's a scary regiment, as well. Yeah. Even a regiment with Banner of Defiance and a character will have to fear this.
Yeah.
Both because they negate so many. One third of the attacks, but also because the battle banner could high roll. So it's a huge gamble for the enemy to put their strong character into combat with his regiment with these.
Yeah.
But the only thing that we're gonna lose is those 400 points if they're chased down. That is still a lot of points, but with that character, it's gonna, for the enemy, it's gonna be a much higher gamble.
Well, the unit can fight well on its own. We're definitely going to be making sure in the actual battles that they are not left to be surrounded, which would be their downfall. And you know, losing a 20% of your army in one unit would be devastating.
Also, with the battle banner, we can actually extend our damage output a little bit and make it 5 wide.
Yeah.
It, because it's 2 additional attacks and they are so well protected, so some of them will get to strike back,
mm-hmm.
even if charged.
Yeah.
So it might end up being half a combat resolution or one combat resolution additional. So
yeah, it could be, because like the Black of Corsairs aren't quite, even with the 2 attacks, they aren't very potent because they only have the strength of 3. So the banner and the ranks is their way of winning combat.
Yeah. So I think 5 by 4 is a good option, mm-hmm. for those with battle banner, I think.
Yeah.
You can always use movement points to rearrange if you lose too many,
mm-hmm.
before they connect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even though the battle banner is more expensive, I think there are too many upsides for it here.
So that
compared to Banner of Defiance.
Indeed. The Banner of Defiance is a more short win combat, but if you're on your own, yeah, as you mentioned, you can't chase, so the enemy will be able to rally and just keep you bogged down in that area.
Yeah. Okay, so the other mandatory units that we probably need is the 5 to 6 harpies.
Yeah, I tend to prefer the 6th harpy.
Yeah.
Definitely for the Flail of Skulls edition.
Yeah, it's nice because of the outnumber rule to have an additional one, and also being able to 5 models can capture, you need 5 models to capture table quarters.
Yeah.
And in I ranks, so yeah.
And with the action that Harpy sees in battle, there's definitely going to be at least one casualty in most battles.
Yeah.
Unless you have like multiple units of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think we should go
unless it's of course also we're going to build a 20 model Harpy regiment, but that doesn't seem very competitive. Like, okay, I just used Terra and they broke. Bye bye.
Yeah.
No. So we're not doing that. Okay, so
it's also mandatory to get the scouts.
Oh yes, we do need,
because they are still very good, but we restricted how many regiments you can have of them and increased their cost. But the 3 groups of 9, I don't think it's a. I think that's pretty good. We could go 3 groups of 5, but I think scouts are just so strong, and we actually have a lot of range power in
3 groups of 9. It's going to be a huge chunk of our points. But
it's going to be.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's going to be 405 points as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Harpies and the Corsairs, we have spent 887 points. Okay.
And then how much do we spend on characters?
That depends on what route we're gonna go.
Okay. Yeah.
You wanted
I think it's going to be the assassin. I think this unit needs getting hit by 1 chariot, maybe the unit could survive. Getting hit by 2 chariots, that would be the end of that unit.
I don't think it will. I think it will beat 2 chariots.
You think it'll beat 2 chariots?
Yeah.
Average of
2 7. Chariots is with sides, it's 9 hits. Yeah.
It's 3.5 per die, and then plus. Oh, wait, now we're seeing 7 plus 1, yeah. So
yeah, so 9. It's 9 hits, yeah. 9
hits, yeah.
And then. it becomes seven. 8, and then 8 dies.
Well,
then
there's the armor save, of course.
Yeah, so that's that's gonna be 5 to 6. Let's just say 6, and then the crew maybe kills another one with the horses. So that's 7. We have 3 ranks and a musician, so that's 4. And then the battle banner just have to roll 3 or more to withstand the two chariots. So I don't think we need the gem, actually. I think a Dispel Scroll might be...
It might be better in most situations, because this is only against chariots, and only if you're being overwhelmed.
But of course, if we bring a unit like Witch Elves, then it could be nice to have an assassin with Black Gem there.
Yes, because they are quite vulnerable. And it depends if we're going to bring Witch Elves. I guess it would make sense with Witch Elves. It would make sense to go with the Black Guard, since we already have one, sort of a combat result winner. And these are not really meant to win by combat assault, they're just meant to stand there and die. So that's points we're just going to be giving the enemy to bog them down.
Yep.
Since we're not building a defensive line with the bolt throwers, it doesn't seem like Blackguard is the right choice. Executioners, I mean... They're still not great. They're a lot better than they were in the original game, which was just god awful, which is what their stats were like in the original edition. And never a reason to bring them. Not really one here either.
I think executioners are very, very good counter units against the.
Yeah.
Monstrous infantry,
yeah.
Or they bring a lot of combat resolution against the beastmen as well, because multiple wounds thing.
Yeah. So they're more.
But other than that, I don't think they can reliable do anything, and I wouldn't consider more than 6 to 8 of them, 6 to 10 of them probably.
Yeah, 6 to 10 I think is the right size of that kind of unit. Dark Riders, we don't really need. We do have the potential of getting a Cold One Knight unit.
Yep.
But it'd be sort of on its own, or at least only supported by the Harpies.
Yeah, and it's not strong enough on its own, so it's more of a support unit, as you mentioned.
Well, we did. Well, of course, it's not an amazing combat result, but it is something that could scour the flanks because of those, what was it, 4 to 5 wounds unit caused.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad unit at all, and it's fairly cheap, actually. We will probably get 5 or 6.
Yeah, we should probably get 6 if we want to go that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, are the Witch Elves better? Of course, they have 2 less movement.
Mm-hmm.
But they can hold on their own. So we have 2 regiments that can do stuff on its own. And if we put an assassin with Black Gem, we also protect the Witch Elves a little bit from... From a... strong character killing all of them.
Yeah, and then with the units of 9 scouts, they are fairly decently supported. I guess how many... So we'd get a Witch Elves with the Banner of Might.
We should probably get, do 6 in the front ranks. We want to have as many as tacks, because it adds more, so we can probably go with 18. Have 6x3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these are going to be winning by killing.
Yeah.
Which means that we can allow ourselves not to go full rank bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we could do that. I'm still not. I don't know about the sorcerer versus the assassin, Dispel Scroll versus Black Gem. I don't know, because only having one Dispel Scroll is also a bit low.
I mean, they do have the scouts to block them, but witch elves would be very vulnerable to chariots. But of course, they are cheap. But it's going to be without the assassin. What's going to be like 200, 300 points?
Yeah, it's. They're not cheaper than the six cold ones, but the.
No, they're not cheaper than those, but they are more potent than those are. I mean, with six wide, three attacks each. I guess in worst case scenario, we're hitting on fours.
Yeah, they are better, four. But also slower.
Well, is it that much better? I mean, if they're hitting, well, they of course.
Yeah, but they also have a plus two ranks, yes, which the knights doesn't.
The knights don't have that. That's true. Yeah, and they'd be usually hitting on threes, wouldn't they?
Yeah, we give them Banner of Might, of course, so yeah. Sometimes on twos.
So.
But it is dangerous, because chariots and a character will destroy witch elves. Either chariots or a regiment with a character.
Some flying monster with breath attack.
That's just gonna kill a few models. It doesn't matter as long as we. I mean, if we have the six witch elves left with Banner of Might, it's still good enough.
And that is true. It just leads more damage, because you can do a lot of damage with those six. So
it's 18 attacks.
Yeah, it's 18 attacks. And likely 12 hits, and likely 6 wounds.
Yeah, so even 6 witch elves can combat in full ranks without a really good banner.
Mm-hmm.
Almost Banner of Defiance regiments.
Yes.
Oh, but they can, because they still have the standard, so they 6 witch elves play even with Banner of Defiance regiment. So.
Yeah, on average.
They won't survive chariots, and they won't survive a character striking before them.
But then again, chariots, knights won't survive chariots either.
No, they won't.
And we do have scouts to protect the witch elves. We do not have dark riders to protect the
right about that. And dark riders are huge investment.
Yeah,
so should we go with the witch elves?
Yeah, let's go with the witch elves and see how it looks.
Yep. Okay.
Because we've basically the only mobility, well, we do have the 5 move on the infantry units, but the main mobility that we have is in the sorcerer lord and the harpies.
That is gonna take us close to max. Mm-hmm. Then points. We have a little bit left, depending on what choice. So we should probably decide on if we want to have the sorcerer with Dispel Scroll on, or the Black Gem.
The Black Gem is a lot more interesting now that it's Witch Elves, because it does remove some of their counters, like chariots and characters on mounts.
Yeah, So with two chariots charge them, they can even they can black gem one and then play even with the other.
If they get to strike back. I mean, the chariot on average is going to.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's gonna be close because.
It's gonna be one or two witch elves that can strike back.
Yeah.
But then and of course they get three combat result and they get the outnumber that makes them four. So they're already on four, even though they lost about 5.5.
Yeah, we forgot about the outnumber as well when calculating these foot units. So.
Yeah.
So you wanna have the assassin with black gem.
Yeah, but then again, the dispel scroll. It's so important. I mean.
Yeah, I'm leaning more to having the dispel scroll because it's gonna be useful more often, I think.
Yeah.
In a more variety of battles, but it's a tough choice.
It is. It is a very tough choice, but I think you're right. I think the Dispel Scroll is the better choice for the majority of the matchups you can meet.
It's also an additional spell that the enemy can draw out a Dispel from the enemy, supporting our Lord.
Mm-hmm. The extra spell, the...
Yeah, so
extra retained wins a magic card.
Yeah, and also the chance, small chance of getting transmutation of Cadon on the level 1.
Yeah.
That happened to me so much as a as a kid. That was probably one of the only thing that often went my way because I was pretty bad and had bad armies. But I got that so often on my level 1s.
Well, I've seen it quite a few times on your level 1s as well in the games we played with Dark Elves.
I just have a thing for getting that on the level 1s, I think.
It's the one thing you get and then you roll 1s on everything else.
Yeah. Should the sorcerer just be on a horse, on a steed? On his own? Or should we put him with the corsairs and save a little points? It's probably nice having him with the corsairs, right?
Put him with the corsairs.
And we can go down to 19 corsairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we spent 788 points on characters.
Mm-hmm.
And on units, we spent 1,164. So that leaves us with 84 points left.
Oh, wow.
No, 48 points left. Sorry.
48 points. Okay, 48 points.
48 points. So that's not a lot. It's a few models here and there.
Yeah.
We can probably not get something new.
We could go for. Do we up it to 8 harpies? Even 9?
I don't think it's worth getting 9, but 8 is. Makes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you have 9, so you have 5 in the front and 4 in the back, then you get 5 attacks against the enemy ranged units. If you kill one, you're likely to outnumber them. So you do up your breaking point, the enemy breaking point. Because you're, I mean, if you have 8, are you still, are you likely to kill enough? I suppose on average, depending on what you're fighting for ranged units, on average you should get enough to get outnumbered as well with 8.
Oh, and that's those 3 harpies are just the points that we have left.
That's what I was thinking. Because if we do that, we get an extra attack in.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You have a combat risk, you have outnumber and an extra attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, they will be able to peel off those annoying 9 archers
and trying to hold the... And the enemy has to kill 3 in order to panic.
Yeah, that's 6 wounds.
Yeah, 6 wounds they have to cause to make them panic.
Yeah. And you should be able to make. We invest a lot of into a harpy unit, then, so it's a juicy target for some for the enemy. So But the enemy flyers, you can always
They're
fly
going to
high
be...
when they do first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like your thinking with the harpies. They are very expensive, so you need to protect. This unit now, it's not something that you can throw away.
Yeah, it's
anymore.
Almost 160 points.
It's 144 points.
Yeah, 144 points, yeah. Yeah, so it's not frivolous, but it is very potent as well, so it can, just like the rest of our army, it can fight on its own. Not against the major targets, but it will be able to beat most of the supporting units the enemy can muster.
Yeah. I actually think that's a cool idea. And they will be able to support the Witch Elves or the Corsairs really well. Mm-hmm. And we control the skies.
Yeah.
Hugely. We have 6 strength 7 attacks and 9 strength 4.
Yeah. The enemy
we
is
are actually very strong on air power, so.
Yeah. I mean even demon princes have to be aware.
Yeah. I like what we came up with here.
Mm.
To sum it up, we have a Sorcerer Lord as general with Cloak of Mist and Shadows, Book of Secrets, a Dispel Scroll and Staff of Osiris, and a repeating crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a Witch Elf Hero on a Pegasus with Jade Amulet and Charm Shield, Heavy Armor Lance, and a Halberd.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that I put a Halberd on the Witch Elves.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, it's a knife for the round 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a sorcerer with a dispel scroll and additional hand weapon.
Yes.
Then we have the 19 corsairs with a wizard with command and additional hand weapons with battle banner. The 9 harpies and the 3 groups of 9 scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And the 18 witch elves with command and banner of might.
Yeah, that makes for a pretty potent list. I mean, all of these units, they're not... the Corsairs are pretty scary, but the Witch Elves can be if they get into combat. So they're actually quite intimidating, each of these units on their own as well.
Yeah.
The only one that can't go toe-to-toe with something big is the Harpies themselves, but... Everything else is pretty ready to just go ahead and smash whatever they meet.
Yeah. And the harpies should be able to steer away from unwanted things. So fight against this army, I would look to the witch elves to get points.
Yeah.
But even if you get those, it's 300 points. I think the scouts, the harpies, and the magic should be able to collect 300 points, making it up to table quarters. If you throw your witch elves away, but of course you should try to maneuver them so they're not taking out and protect them.
Yeah. Use your dark elf scouts not only to screen them, but also to deny frenzy baiting.
Yeah, but then the witch elves are moving slower, or the scouts are not shooting. So that's it's a consideration in some matchups.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, definitely don't always do that.
No, you want your scouts to be shooting, and you want your witches to be marching and charging.
Yeah. And the scouts are very good at picking off war machines from when they're deployed in woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the harpies can do that as well. So we're pretty well covered with this. Strong on magic, strong on air, strong on melee, and strong on ranged, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty potent list, actually.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And it was nice talking through the different options with you. I'm still not 100% sure that it's the very best route we went with, but I think it's starting to look look that way.
Yeah, it's definitely, you could easily have gone the other way and gone with a regular lord, some dispel scrolls, you know, cut down some of the magic and then upped our way up the cavalry side, you know, bringing one very powerful Cold One Knight regiment, or even two Cold One Knight regiments with Dark Rider support. So you could have gone the other way, or you could have laid even further into magic and then supported it with the Black Guard of Nacherond, and then maybe some Bolt Throwers to be a more defensive build, you know, to force the enemy towards you with magic and then to shoot them into pieces.
Yeah.
So the many different options, I think, feel like, after we went through each of the units and their abilities.
There definitely are, but the gun line build with the repeating ball throwers, it's
the weakest one.
No, it's not. I think it's strong, but it's gonna be completely locked down by Storm Banner.
Yes, definitely.
Where this can still do something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because the Cloak of Mist and Shadows is unaffected by the Storm Banner.
And we still have two units that can combat things.
Yeah. And the Storm Banner is a quite potent item. We've been using it more and more in some of our lists, simply because it can deny certain aspects of the game, which is a very powerful factor, which means you can start to build your list to only deal with the remaining aspects of the game, the magic and the melee combat. And then you can just completely ignore the ranged and the artillery fight and the enemy flyers.
For some time. And you also start the game 100% or 100 points less than your enemy.
Yeah.
So it's a.
These are all true. These are all true. But in the right build, the Storm Banner can be a very potent card.
It's very good for Orcs and Goblins, which can easily get all the things that they want, and still have room for that banner.
I love
and are very weak on air power in general.
Your Chaos Slaanesh Chariot build with Storm Banner as well. That was very cool to watch, or to consider how it would play out as well.
Yeah, but that was a regular.
Warhammer
tournament list.
Yeah. But that kind of build is a potential thing with the Storm Banner. But so far, it's not game-breaking, so we haven't planned any changes, since we're not going to be looking at magic items anytime soon, if we're ever going to be changing magic items. keeping with the idea of the Flail of Skulls edition is that we want to keep it as close as possible to the original. We only want to balance the factions. I mean, we did add one or two units. I think we only added one unit in total, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we gave a Chaos Dwarfs Harpies, and that's it.
Yeah, we also did the only unit that we made ourselves.
The Foot Knights,
yeah.
For Bretonnian, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only real unit we added to add some variety to the otherwise very one-track play style of the Bretonnians. But yeah, that's basically why we haven't looked at magic items yet, and why we might not never get to round to it. Simply, they're finely balanced as they are. There are plenty of counters to every powerful item, and there are certain downsides to some of the more game-breaking ones.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm really happy that we decided on the second Dispel Scroll.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right.
Because that will be what the enemy will turn to against this army. I think in a lot of cases is how can I get points with magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it does seem like a strong list. I mean, it might not be the most optimal version of it, but I do see some very powerful plays with this army list.
Yeah,
so I think we did a decent job here making a proper tournament style list of the Dark Elves.
Yeah,
and it didn't end up in any kind of unit spamming, as the old editions of Dark Elves would probably always be.
And both Witch Elves and Corsairs are so cool. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to if Dark Elves becomes the next evil faction that I'm going to be painting. That's the Witch Elves and the Corsairs. I'm definitely looking forward to those.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll see how many armies I've painted by the time we get to this podcast. This is a few weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
If not months. But yeah. So, yeah, we made a strong list. We'll of course, post it alongside this podcast here. And if, as I mentioned, the start of the podcast, if you have any ideas to any challenges we should present ourselves or to we should try and build a list from, let us know on our Facebook group, the Warhammer 5th Edition Tactics and Strategy, Flail of Skulls, or at our Flail of Skulls podcast community page on Facebook as well. You can find us there. So I would thank Casper as always for joining me. It's always so much fun to talk army lists with you, and I think this is one of the more fun one, simply because we were able to delve into the depths of the Dark Elves and just thematically mathematically go through each unit and see its uses and its downsides.
Yeah, I think it's a strong list that we made. Mm-hmm. And it's also quite fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not it's not widely annoying to play against, I think.
No, it seems like a proper army.
Yeah.
The way it's built.
With a fair chance of winning, but then,
yeah.
But not something insane.
Trying to balance itself as strong as possible in as many of the aspects of the game as possible, making it a very diverse list. So I would definitely like to see this being played at some point. We should make this into a battle report at some time when we find a proper opponent for this army. Yeah, and while we're just continuing talking about this army, I just want to... I think we should stop for now. We've been at it for... Oh, we're going on an hour and 45. Okay. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to us talk Math Hammer. Hope you enjoy it. Say bye to everyone, Casper.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.